Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of our Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. What a great church we have here. And I expect this church to really, really go somewhere in the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of love in this church. And as long as we keep this love in this church, the devil can't defeat us. Me and John sat back there and we analyzed and scrutinized a lot of stuff. And we're always talking about how much love is going on. And them kids, I'm telling you, we've got the lovingest kids in the whole world. They always hugging somebody or themselves or each other. And it's just a sight to behold. My son told me one time, he said, Dad, I designed a website for this church in California. He said, I'm going to send you the website and let you look at it and see what you think. So he did. About a week, he called me and he said, what do you think about that website I designed for that church? And I said, the website is good, but I said, the church is not going to be there long. And he said, what do you mean? I said, they don't have any youth. If they don't have any youth, then when people die, there's nobody to take their place. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. A few years, he called me back, and he said, boy, you nailed that one. He said, they called me and told me that they're closing the church down. So we need youth in our church. We need youth to participate. Let me tell you something. There's somebody here that God's going to put a great power upon to use in this last day in the kingdom of God. And it could be anybody sitting here that will follow the leading of the Spirit of God. You know, this world didn't need a doctor. It didn't need a teacher. It didn't need a great singer or a great speaker. This world needed a Savior. And that's exactly what God sent to this world, was a Savior. And the angels proclaimed the night that he was born to the shepherds abiding by the flock at night, said, for unto you is born this night in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We know who the Savior is. And if you're born into this world, unless you get born again, then you're not going to see heaven. But thank God that God sent what we needed, exactly what we needed. When I began to read these verses here, verse 8 really, it just kind of jumped out from me, because Paul was talking to the church there in Thessalonica, and from you in verse 8, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith of Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. The word sounded jumped out at me, And there's a rule that I have heard scholars talk about, and a lot of people, and I've even told it myself, that when you find a word in the Bible and you don't know exactly what it is, it's called a rule of first mention. If you will go back into the Bible and find out where that word was first mentioned at, then usually what the context was there usually carries forth all down through the Scriptures. So I wanted to do that because I seen that word sounded, and I looked up the first time that it was mentioned, and it's in Exodus chapter 19, verse 19. Now listen to this, you guys, because you're gonna like this. Exodus 19:19, it said, "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." So if that word sounded meant that the trumpets were really blowing and they got louder and louder and louder, we are being too quiet about what we have. Now, if we were sitting in a bench at WVU, we would probably really make some noise. Probably somebody would go home hoarse. But I want to talk today about some people in the Bible that sounded out the Word of God. Sounded means get louder and louder. In Luke 1 and 44, after Jesus was revealed by the angel to Mary and said she's going to have a son, his name shall be called Jesus, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And he told her, he said, Elizabeth is already 6 months with child. And he told her where to go and to greet her. And when Mary went there, Elizabeth said, "When as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Keep me quiet till I get ready to preach. You know, if somebody is sitting beside of you and you're afraid they're going to get up and move if you holler amen or shout, then you need to find you another place, because what you do to worship God is for you and God. I have never, out of 54 years, I've never enjoyed church any more than I've enjoyed church the last couple of years. I mean, I love the worship service. I love the preaching of the Word of God and the singing. And I love the fact that there's no pressure on me to perform. Hallelujah. That's what I love more than anything. Because people will put pressure on you to perform. And this is not a stage. This is a pulpit. And we need to keep it as a pulpit. Because this is where the Word of God needs to be sounded out from. And anybody that's interested in the Word of God can check it out, because Damon has been doing some awesome preaching. He's been talking about the love of God and how much that God loved us and what all God done for us. And it are to make us more excited about the end time, because I believe we're living in the end time. The world is falling apart, and it's falling apart fast. Any day you get up, you may hear something on the news that will shock you, but don't let it shock you. If you're a child of God, God's coming to get you. Amen? We just need to make sure that we belong to God, because the world's going to fall apart. I didn't come to God to serve Him so that I wouldn't have trouble. I come so trouble wouldn't have me. And there's a big difference in you having trouble and trouble having you. If you belong to God, you're going to have trouble. Bible says in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. You would have a bunch of ministers today that's preaching the gospel of healthy and wealthy. If you belong to God, Kool-Aid's going to come out of your spigots, and your kids are going to make A's, and they want to teach that you're going to be blessed, your bank accounts. No, no, no. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Get ready for a great move of God. When we read in the book of Acts, it's not the thoughts of the apostles. It's not the hopes of the apostles. It's not the wishes of the apostle. It's the acts of the apostles. And the church is not going out with less power than it came in with. Amen. It only takes one great miracle for God to make a move that people will be flooding this place. We ain't got room right now to seat people. Thank God when the new church gets built, we will have. But when God gets ready to make a move, he can do it overnight. It can start overnight and be a great move of God. Shane, if you would you put up Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13? The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. This is what God's will was for the people. He said, I want the fire burning up on the altar. It shall never go out. I'm telling you, when we get the fire back in us like they had in the days of the apostles, a lot of people don't know exactly what fire. Fire, let me tell you what it means. It's a burning. A burning sensation in the body, a burning passion, a likeness, a liveliness to give life or spirit to, enthusiasm, excitement. That's what the fire is. And God's always, now if we are going to represent God the way God needs to be represented, we're going to have some fire in ourselves. Because God is a consuming fire. And if we don't have fire in our church services, we're not really representing the true God. That's why we've got to have the Holy Ghost moving in our midst. I mean, intellectual will not get God's work done. It's not by power, not by might, but by our spirit, saith the Lord. David said, when I feel your spirit, I could leap over a wall. I could run through a troop. Hallelujah. That's why we need Holy Ghost-filled meetings, just like they had in the apostles' day. Amen. But first, we got to have the fire. A dead church service will kill a church, especially if you have quite a few of them. I'll just be truthful with you. I don't like anything dead. Unless it's fire, fried or barbecue. When I come to church, we got a lot of preachers today say, oh, dearly beloved, let's reverence God in quietness. In quietness. If I wanted quietness, I'd go to a graveyard. Dead people don't make noise. The Bible said we are lively stones, not tombstones. Lively stones. When you get fire in you, I guarantee you, I put a fire in somebody's pocket. You're not going to sit there. You're going to move. Amen. Hallelujah. That fire's got to be burning, and it can never go out. If you're a child of God, don't you ever let the fire go out. Somebody say, well, I don't want to praise God in front of somebody. Lock yourself in the bedroom. Draw a circle and stay there until you feel something from God. And when you do, you'll get out of that circle and take it to somebody else. We need to worship God in the spirit and in the truth. Praise God. The Bible said in James 5:17 that Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not for the space of 3.5 years. And when he went out to face Ahab, and Ahab wanted to have a meeting with him, Ahab said to the captain, get you 50 men, and you go out there and you find Elijah. Elijah was up on the side of the mountain waiting on him. First off, they was going to go, the king was wanting to know about a prophet. And so Elijah said, why are you going down here to look for a prophet? Ain't there no prophet in Israel? And when they came to take Elijah, he called fire down from heaven and consumed the 50 and another. So the king sent 50 more. Same thing happened. He consumed the 50 and the captain also. Here comes the third 50. By now, he's done got word what's happening. You know how he approaches Elijah? Hold your fire. I need to talk to you. Hold your fire. Lord, have mercy. If we could get somebody in this day and time to have the fire that the old prophets had in the old Bible, man, we could get something done for God, and it wouldn't take all night and all day to do it. God can do it instantly. Amen. We need that fire. Amen. You know what Elijah said when he went up on the Mount of Carmel, faced about 450 false prophets? He said, I'll tell you what let's do. We'll let the God that answers by fire be the God that we're going to serve. We ought to be living in the day that when the fire that fell on the day of Pentecost is moving throughout our services just as much as it was when the fire came in the upper room and cloven tongues like as a fire set up on each one of them. Amen. I'm not satisfied with just a dead service. I want to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost in my body. Woo! Glory to God. John said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah, we need the fire. That excitement, that burning, that desire. What time did I start? Shane, let me know when 35 minutes is up. Or 40 or 45. Hallelujah. Jesus told the disciples, he said, you go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. If we think, God is not going to give you a job that you can do by yourself. If it's for the kingdom of God, it's not because he's worrying about job security either. He just wants you to know, I called you, I sent you, I'll equip you. And he's told the disciples, as my Father has sent me into the world, so I send you. And he said, I can do nothing without my Father, and you can do nothing without me. And we need to know that. We need to know, no matter how hard you study, how hard you pray, if the Spirit of God is not moving in your life, there's something wrong. We need it. I mean, we need the Spirit of God moving. We need, when we come to the house of God, it's not to be entertained. You should come here for direction in your life. You should come here to hear a word from God so you'll know what to do. You need to know God's word, because if you mess up and make a mistake, you'll pay for it the rest of your life. These young people that's here today, I'm telling you, they're going to be the future church, and they need to hear from God now, not in the future. We need to hear the word of God every day of our life. God, what should I do? We used to pray about everything. When I first got in church, they said, don't do anything without praying. We would not buy a car unless we prayed and asked God's permission upon it. Now, we just go out and get anything we want. Don't care what it is. I'll never forget. We prayed and prayed. We was needing a car. Kids was piling up. Had five kids, lived in a trailer, didn't know what I was going to do. Had to put them in bunk beds, and had fallen out and breaking shoulders and everything. So what am I going to do? So we began to pray, and we went everywhere looking for a car. Couldn't find it. My wife got up one morning. She said, I dreamt of seeing this color of car, and said, it's a station wagon. I said, really? She said, yeah. Coming in from work, I went by a car lot, and I seen that station wagon. She told me the color that she saw and everything. I went and bought that station wagon. I hauled five kids to Florida without air conditioning. One of my kids had rode so long, I had to stop and preach in Virginia. Supposed to have been there at 6 o'clock. We left the house at 4 and couldn't find a church. Finally got to the church about 8. The church had never went past 9 in his life. And we went on past 9. Then I left there and hit the interstate heading to Florida. The next morning, one of the kids woke up and said, well, there's an American flag. I guess he thought we done drove out of the country. I put over 118,000 miles on that station wagon because my wife saw the station wagon, and that's what we prayed about everything. And I'm gonna give you this as a testimony. I'm gonna sound it out because this knocked me for a loop. And when you start to tell things that God's done, you think the devil don't listen? He listens. We'd been in a trailer for a long time, and I started praying for God to give me a home. And thank you, Leslie. I said, God, I need a home. I'd like to have a home. Me and my wife looked everywhere. We couldn't find a home. She seen one day, and the column was leaned over, and the house was empty. She said, stop. And I said, the house ain't even for sale. She said, stop. I stopped, and she ran around back, climbed up the steps, and looked there. And she said, man, I love it. I love it. I want it. And I said, well, there's no use wanting it and loving it because it's not for sale. It had been on the market, and it was repossessed by HUD. And so we told the realtor that we was dealing with, and if it ever come on the market, we'd like to know. And so he called me one day, and I'd been praying about it, and I really felt the Holy Ghost moving. In my truck, on my way home, I was listening to a song, and that song was ministering to me in a great, great way. And all of a sudden, I said, I'm going to get that house. I'm going to get that house. I don't know why I said that, but I did, and I said that loud. And so the realtor called and said, the house is coming on the market. And he said, it's going to be in the paper. And said, we need to get you to make a bid on it. And I was out of town, and I come back Monday. And I had my daughter-in-law looking for that house, and I said, it wasn't in the paper. He said, Eddie, they put it in the Charleston paper, and they only have to put it in one paper. And he said, I throwed a fit, but he said, we need to get a bid in. So I put a bid in, and I told my daughter, Christy. I said, Christy, I said, God's going to give us that house. She said, he is, and I said, yeah. And so we put a bid in, and the realtor called, and he said somebody had already got the bid first and that they had bought the house. And so my wife, she got discouraged. She said, well, that's it. I ain't looking no more. I'm sick and tired. I ain't. You know how you do. Christy comes, Dad, you told me God showed you he was going to get that house. I said, Christy, if ever I thought God spoke to me, I thought it was the end. I said, I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened, but I believe God showed me I was going to get that house. She said, well, you didn't, and so he must not have. So what could I do? Me and my wife was evangelizing, and Tracy, my daughter, she stayed at the home church while we went about an hour and a half away, and it's a Saturday night, and she had been watching for us to come home. And as soon as I pulled into the driveway, she come running. She said, Dad, the realtor called and said the people couldn't get the loan for that home, and he wants you to call him. So I called him, and he said, listen, I need to get another bid in as fast as possible. And I said, okay. He said, how much you want to bid this time? So I bid $500 more dollars than I did the first time. He said, what? And I said, yep. So he said, okay. And he said, I'm going to get it in as fast as I can. I said, wait a minute, where's the HUD office at? He said, in Charleston. I said, you have the address? He said, yeah. I said, okay, you put the bid in the envelope and seal it up. Give it to me. I'm going down there tomorrow. He said, they ain't open on Sunday. I said, I know they ain't open on Sunday. Maybe they've got a mailbox or something I can put it in. Or maybe they got a crack in the door. And he said, all right, I'll give you the letter, but don't put it in the mailbox down there in Charleston City. He said, I'll take it down myself if you can't get it in. I found the building. I walked around, every door was closed, locked up. Big old tall building. Finally, I went around one end, there stood a guard in the doorway, and it was locked. And I said, hey, buddy, I need to get up to the fifth floor. He said, oh, they're closed. He said, you can't go in today. I said, I know they're closed, but I said, maybe they've got a crack under the door. Maybe they've got a mailbox in the door. And I said, I need to get an envelope in there. He said, well, I'll take you up there, but I don't believe you're going to be able to do it. And I said, okay, let's go. We went up there. There wasn't no mailbox in the door, but there was a crack about that big under that door, and I stuck it in the envelope, and I went, chunk, knocked it in there. About a week later, that realtor called, and he said, guess what? You got a new home. Boy, you know what I started doing? I'm sounding it out today. I'm letting people know what God has done in my life. I'm going to sound it out. You know the first thing I started looking for? Christy. Wouldn't y'all? Yeah. Amen. While I'm at it, I'll tell you another. I'll sound another one out. When God uses you, it's going to be in simplicity things. It's going to be in things that you can't figure out, that you don't know how. A pastor took me to a church one time. I sat in the back, and here come a man with a bottle of oil, and the pastor sitting on one side, I sitting on the other. And we didn't go to that church very often. Here come a guy with a bottle of oil and stood before me, and he said, God told me to bring this oil back here for you to anoint me. And I said, okay. I took the lid off. The Holy Ghost said, pour it on his head. I poured it on his head. Oil started running down his forehead and run in his eye and all the way down his cheek and neck to his shirt while I was praying for him. He went back. We left that night. As soon as I got out the door, the devil said, you idiot. Do you see what you've done? You have really made a fool out of yourself. And he talked to me and talked to me every day. And I couldn't hardly stand it because I didn't know what to do. One day, a month, 2 months later, maybe 3 months, the pastor said, hey, he said, come go with me to this church. And, oh, no, I don't want to go. Oh, come on, let's go. No, get somebody else. No, man, I want you to go with me. I really don't want to go. He said, come on, we're going. I said, oh, okay. So I tiptoed in, sneaked down, and got me a seat real low, held my head down. And a little while, the Spirit started moving. They were singing, clapping, praising God. And that guy stood up that I had prayed for. He said, let me tell y'all something. The last time Brother Eddie was here, God told me to take some oil back there and him anoint me with that oil and pray over me. He said, and Eddie did. He said, I'd been to the doctor, and the doctor told me I was losing sight in this one eye and said I wouldn't have sight very long at all. And he said, and the oil that Eddie prayed for me run down in my eye. And he said, the next time I went back to the doctor, he said, where have you been? He said, there's something happened to your eye. It's better than the other eye now. So when he started testifying, I started coming alive. And boy, when I walked out of that church that night, I said, he was in dark places. Where are you, devil? Come here, devil. I want to talk to you. Sometimes it's not in the great things we do, but it's in the simple things that we do. When God does something for somebody, he wants us to sound it out. Like the Apostle Paul told them in Acts, in that Thessalonians verse number 8, for you have sounded out the word of the Lord. People need to hear the miracles that you've had in your life. They need to know what God has done for you, because what he done yesterday, he will do today. God will give you anything that you believe him for. This is a God that answers by faith. Begging and crying will not get a miracle from him. But when you believe, he'll do it. He'll do it in spite of the hell and everything else. Because he's a God that moves by faith. Hallelujah. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord.
I don't have time to get into. I had 8 things I wanted to mention about people sounding out the word of the Lord. Y'all know, I'm not going to get into it, but maybe one of them. What How long have I been up here? 30 minutes, good. I still got 5 or 10 more. But you know, we need to have Jesus embedded in our spirit. Not just church time. I have invested a lifetime in serving and worshiping Him. And He's embedded in my spirit. So much, I can't even eat a piece of cornbread without thinking about Him. He's the bread of life. Like, there's no way that I could not know Him. When I see a light, I think He's the light of the world. I see a star, I think Jesus is the bright morning star. When I take a drink of water, I think He's the water of life. Oh, He's so embedded in everything. I see a baby. I think about He was born as a baby. Deity in diapers. Woo! Can you imagine that? That's what it was. I don't care how you can figure it any other way. He was Emmanuel. Deity in diapers. When I see a baby, they remind me of Him being born into our world so that we could be born into His world. He was the Son of God, become the Son of Man, that we as sons of men could become sons of God. What a Savior we have. I look at the flowers. I think He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. Everything reminds me of my Savior because I needed a Savior. I can't even walk through that door without thinking about Jesus. He said, I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Hallelujah. We need Him embedded in our spirit that everything reminds us of Jesus. All right. Number one, somebody in the Bible that sounded out the word of the Lord. He's found in John chapter 9. They come to Jesus and they said, here's a blind man, born blind. We want to ask you, who sinned, his parents or him? That's a dumb question. He was born that way. How could he sin? It wasn't a dumb question for Jesus. He said, oh, neither one of them. His parents didn't sin. He didn't either. But said he was born that way that he might show forth and sound out the glory of God. Born blind so that he could sound out the glory of God. How did he sound it out? Well, when they found out Jesus healed him, it stirred up the religious folks. Put your religion away. You don't need religion. If you got religion, it's no good. You need Christianity. That's Christ-like. That means to be Christ-like. And so all that you've heard about religion, you need to junk it because it ain't no good. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. It was almost 12 years in the book of Acts before they counted themselves worthy to be called a Christian, where Christian means Christ-like. And they wanted to make sure that they had Jesus' spirit before anybody called them a Christian. We need to make sure that we've got the Holy Ghost in our life. You know what? When Jesus was walking the face of the earth, He could only be with so many at a time. But He said, I'm going away. And if I go away, I'll come again. And I'll bring you another comforter that it may abide with you forever. If you ever receive the Spirit of God, He will not take it back. Amen. God don't call somebody and then uncall them. If you've ever been called, you're called from time and eternity. They asked this guy. He said, hey, we want to ask you something. How come you can see? He said, there's a man called Jesus. Said, he told me to put mud in my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and I came seeing. They said, now wait a minute. This is the Sabbath day. He said, well, ain't it good to do good on the Sabbath day? And they couldn't answer him. And so they said, well, it couldn't have been Jesus because God don't hear sinners. And so they got his parents. Said, this son that you say so is your son. Was born blind. He sees now. Said, what happened? And they said, well, he is our son. We know that. And he was born blind. We know that. But as far as how he can see, ask him. He's of age. Because they didn't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. Well, they done asked him, and they didn't like his answer. So they went back again. But let me tell you something. You can confuse people with doctrine. You can preach on lots of doctrine, and you can get people tore up and confused on the Godhead and baptism and all of this other stuff that's going on. But if they've ever had a miracle and a relationship from God, you cannot fool them. You cannot make them doubt it. If God's ever moved in your life and done something great for you, y'all, if y'all knew me before I knew God, y'all would know God is real. Y'all would know what a great God we serve. But that man, he finally got fed up with the doctrine. He finally got fed up with all the answers. And he began to sound out the word of the Lord. He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing I do know. I was born blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. You need a miracle from God.
We need something to fight the devil with. Come on, musicians. I'm only going to get one point, and that was about the blind man. I had six more, but I won't give them. Time's done run out on me. I usually preach fast, and y'all have to listen fast. Right now, I'm going to call Damon's assistant, and he knows what Damon usually does at the altar call. We don't want you to leave. If you need prayer, we're going to pray for you. If you need a miracle, this could be the day you get it. Don't ever be ashamed to get in a prayer line. Me and my wife, we didn't serve God. We wouldn't go to church or nothing. She'd go to church on Saturday night, and they'd have a prayer line. She'd get in that prayer line every night, and they'd lay hands on her, and she'd say, God, give me an Eddie, a mind to serve you. Because if God don't change your mind, you're going to do what you want to do. And she'd done it over and over and over and over until one day when she prayed that prayer, she felt the Holy Ghost move upon her. And she couldn't go back to her seat, and she went to the altar. She come home. She said, I got saved tonight. Back then, when you started praying, well, which is a biblical term, then they say you got saved when you start praying. It's in the book of Acts when God told one of the guys, he said, you go see Saul. He said, no. I want nothing to do with Saul. He said, I've done heard about him, what he's done, that destroying the church. And Jesus said, it's okay. He's praying. He's praying. When somebody's praying, they ain't going to kill you. Amen. And so you could get that miracle today. And come on, Jason. And which is a biblical term. Then they say you got saved when you start praying. It's in the book of Acts when God told one of the guys, he said, you go see Saul. He said, no, I want nothing to do with Saul. He said, I've done heard about him, what he's done, that destroying the church. And Jesus said, it's okay. He's praying. He's praying. When somebody's praying, they ain't going to kill you. Amen. And so you could get that miracle today. And come on, Jason. And